Zoomer Radio, the original greatest hits. That's Honeymoon Suite. What does it take on the morning Zoom with Sam and Jane? I'm Marissa Lennox, in for Sam.
And I'm Jane, and today's cabinet shuffle could be the most significant of the Justin Trudeau era, with 7 new MPs promoted to cabinet, including 3 new members from the Greater Toronto Area. It's no secret the Prime Minister is getting his cabinet ready for the next federal election, which might be sooner rather than later. Joining us to talk about the various moves and what it means for Canadians, Daryl Bricker, CEO, Ipsos Global Public Affairs. Daryl, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on, Jane.
So let's talk about some of the more surprising slash interesting moves, starting with Anita Anand from Defense to Treasury Board, Bill Blair from Emergency Preparedness to Defense. What does this signal?
Well, it signals that obviously they're not seeing the issues at Defense as important as the issues at the Treasury Board, which really have to do with internal government spending. That's what Treasury Board does. It's almost like the internal controller for the government. So obviously they want to get something going in terms of dealing with spending issues and giving Anita Anand, who's a potential successor to Justin Trudeau, an opportunity to establish some economic bona fides.
How about the fact that there are 4 MPs that have announced they will not be running in the next federal election? Is this a way for them to bow out gracefully?
I think so. It's one of, in some instances, it may be, I'm leaving before I'm pushed. This always happens when you get into the tail end of a government. Obviously, this government's cleaning the decks now, getting ready to go into some election, which, by the spring, it could very well happen because we're going to be moving into a budget, and a budget is always a vote of confidence. So there's potential the government could fall, not because that they decide that they want to have an election, but because the NDP in this instance decides they no longer want to support the government. So this government has to get ready for an election.
Oh, so your feeling is that the Liberals won't trigger the election. You think it will be Jagmeet Singh?
Well, it could. That is the one that's on the calendar. I mean, anything can happen between now and then. I mean, if the government decides now to prorogue the House and have a speech from the throne, that also becomes a vote of confidence. So the government could call an election. It could set up a situation in which it could be defeated, so it can take back the agenda. But the one element that it can't control is whether the NDP, when this budget comes up in the spring, continues to support them. We already know the Bloc and the Conservatives will vote against them, so it's what the NDP and Jagmeet Singh decide to do.
So I guess that answers the why now question that's on everybody's minds. But, as a pollster, how does this play out for the Liberals? Is this a good news story, or does this just shine a spotlight on the underperformers?
Well, what it does is it's kind of the first and easiest thing a government can do to try and put a new face on the government. But the truth is, in this era of leadership politics, almost nobody knows who the cabinet ministers are beyond maybe a couple of the top ones, and all of the emphasis is on the leader. And what makes you strong makes you weak. In 2015, Justin Trudeau made the Liberal Party strong. Since 2019, he's made them much weaker, and never weaker than they are at the moment.
Depending on timing, Daryl, how likely is the outcome of another federal election to be just like the last 2 federal elections with a minority government?
Well, the past is always prologue, right? I mean, so you would expect that could be the case. But Canadians are in a very ornery mood right now, Jane. And there's been a consistent parade of polls, including our own, that now show that the Conservatives have opened up a meaningful lead over the Liberals. Now, not big enough that they would be able to form a majority government, at least not in our polling, but knocking on the door of it. So the Liberals are in a difficult position because the mood is not for the incumbent. And quite frankly, when you move into this environment in which people are really focused on change, they tend to go for the biggest change. So like Doug Ford against Kathleen Wynne, or even Rob Ford against David Miller, when they decide that they want to sweep things out, they really, really want to sweep things out. So it's now going to be a battle over, I would say, whether or not people are really genuine in their view of there's a need for change. And if they are, then the Liberals are going to be in some really tough, in a really tough position.
All right. So, Daryl, there are going to be 7 new cabinet ministers, 3 from the GTA. Any speculation as to who those individuals might be? I'm thinking Charles Souza, possibly.
Yeah, it could be. We know a couple of things about this prime minister. His priority is diversity. So he's going to be looking to make sure that there's a proper gender balance in his cabinet. So obviously women will have an advantage in this assessment. And also, if they come from new Canadian communities, given that the 905 is such an important part of what is required to win the next federal election, I expect that we would see an emphasis there. So in terms of the actual names, matters less than meeting those 2 criteria, I would say.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, thanks for your time. We'll see what happens here in the next hour or so.
Thanks, Jane.
Daryl Bricker, CEO, Ipsos Global Public Affairs.